Good morning. Welcome to our weekly Bible talk. We've come together to read God's Word and to pray it back to Him. This is how Christians commune with God, through Him speaking to us through His Word and then us responding back in prayer and praise. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 today and on into chapter 6, actually, and talking about the roles of husbands, wives, and maybe children if we've got time. So let's pray and we'll get into this. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your law. Give us grace by your Holy Spirit that we would trust your word and become doers of your word, not hearers only. Please make us people who are eager to do good works and to bring glory to our Father in heaven. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, last week we began talking about the way in which part of the way you live out your Christianity is within the household. And this is actually a large part of the way you live out your Christianity. I hope you don't think of your Christianity primarily in terms of what you do on Sunday mornings and not give much thought to the rest of the week. Obviously, Sunday mornings, worship gatherings, those are extremely important and helpful. They're ways whereby we grow in godliness, ways whereby we're equipped to do good works. And yet, really, where the rubber meets the road is from Monday to the following Saturday. How you treat your spouse, how you raise your kids, how you work your job, that's really the main context where you live out your Christianity. And like we saw last week, we talked about the roles of wife and husband. And the wife's role in the Christian marriage is primarily to submit to and support her husband's leadership. That obviously does not mean she does everything he says. She doesn't become his slave or anything like that. But like I said, every ship needs a captain, and in God's design, the father is to be the captain of the family, with the wife playing the role of the first mate. The husband, on the other hand, is to primarily love his wife, and to love his wife like Christ loves the church, in a very sacrificial way, putting her needs before his own, putting her welfare before his own. That's God's design for the marriage relationship. And like I said last week, if you and your spouse can just get on the same page, if you can agree that this is what the Bible says and this is what we're committed to, that will help you big time. It won't solve all your problems. It won't mean that your marriage will just be, you know, roses and birds and, you know, butterflies. You'll have challenges and temptations just like every person does this side of the fall. But if you can simply get on the same page, that will help you tremendously. That's a quick summary from last week. If you weren't here, I'd encourage you to watch that to sort of get the context on what's going on today. We're going to continue that discussion today, but I'm going to assume a lot of what we said last week. So if you would, read with me Ephesians 5, 22 on into 6, 4. Ephesians 5, 22 through 6, 4. God's word says this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, and as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, a couple of things I feel sort of constrained to say in light of last week. I did stress last week that wives are to submit to their husbands, and that husbands are to provide loving leadership. And the example I used last week was, let's say a husband really feels like he ought to take a job in Tampa. The wife doesn't agree with that. She should support his decision to take that job in Tampa, even if she doesn't particularly like Tampa. Now, if she sees some sort of sin going on there, that's one thing. But if she just doesn't love, you know, hot weather or something like that, you know, I really think that she ought to pray and ask for God's help to support her husband in that decision. Now, having said that, do realize this is something that husbands ought not to be doing every day. This is something you really reserve for very rare occasions to say, this is what we're doing. I'm sorry you disagree, but we're going to do this anyway. For example, in my marriage, we've been married about 20 years, and I think I've used the, like, you know, this is what we're doing, even if you don't like it, maybe two or three times. This is not something that you're throwing out all the time. In general, husbands and wives ought to discuss decisions, come to an agreement, consider one another's opinions and perspectives. That's really the sort of ordinary way in which they make decisions. But under certain circumstances, when push comes to shove and you've got to make a decision, really at the end of the day, the buck stops with the husband. But again, husbands, be careful with that so you're not throwing that out all the time. You know, if you're all the time saying, I am the husband, you must submit, there's something deeply wrong with that. This is something that you only reserve for very rare occasions when a decision must be made and you really have sought God's counsel and sought wisdom and prayed about it, and you really believe that at the end of the day, this is what is wise and good, even though my wife might disagree. Hopefully that sort of clarifies what we were talking about last week. Well, today I want to talk primarily, in the time that we have left, about the nature of the husband's love for his wife. Because it says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And we talked last week about the way in which that's very self-sacrificing. I put my wife's desires above my own. I put her needs in front of my own, and I do what I can to promote her. Now, in the passage that we just read, there are some specific ways whereby we are to do this. And it's interesting that Paul kind of transitions from talking primarily about husbands and wives to all of a sudden talking primarily about Christ and the church. But again, there's sort of a back and forth relationship there. The husband and wife are to look to Christ's love for the church as the model for their relationship, and Christ's love for the church then forms the pattern for the relationship in the marriage. But look at some of the ways whereby husbands are to love their wives. Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Husbands, you need to do what you can to help your wife grow in godliness. How does that happen? It happens through exposing your wife and really your children. And really what I'm about to say here applies to any discipleship context, whether it be your children, whether it be a coworker, whether it be somebody you're sharing the gospel with in your neighborhood. How is it that God changes us more and more into the image of God's Son? It's through the Word of God. As we come to understand God's Word, as we submit to it, as we repent of ways whereby we're disobeying it, as we pray for grace to put our lives more and more in conformity with God's Word, that's how we're changed and transformed. And this is one of the main ways whereby husbands are to love their wives. Do what they can to expose them prayerfully to the Word of God as much as possible. So what does that mean practically? Find a good church and get you and your family in a good church where they're going to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God. Do things like family devotions. We don't have time to explore this now. There's actually several sermons on our website if you want to go there where I've talked about family worship, family discipleship. But realize that is a major way whereby you love your wife. Do what you can to promote her godliness. You know, a lot of guys think, how am I going to love my wife? Well, I'm going to bring home the bacon and make sure we got a nice house and a nice car. Obviously, those are important. You know, you want to take care of your family. Paul says, if you don't take care of your household, you're worse than an unbeliever. Having said that and understanding that, in addition to that, one of the most loving things you can do as a husband is to work and to do whatever you can to promote your wife's spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. So if that means giving her time away from the kids to do her devotions, you do that. If that means, paying for her to go to like a Christian conference, a ladies' conference or something like that, you try to do that, but you realize that this is one of the major ways whereby husbands love their wives. They do what they can to sanctify them, to cleanse them by the washing of water with the word. And that's why he says in verse 28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as they love their own bodies. Now, this is where I think you would get into the entire role of providing for your wife and taking care of her and doing what you can to make sure she's got her physical needs met. You care for your body, don't you? You make sure your body gets three meals a day. You make sure your body, has its teeth brushed and hair combed and that sort of thing. Basic sort of necessities taken care of. So also realize this is one of the major ways whereby you're going to love your wife. Make sure she doesn't have to worry about the finances. Make sure there's plenty of money in the bank so that she can buy groceries. Make sure that, just sort of basic common sense needs are met. Just like you'd care for your own flesh, you care for your wife. And that's one of the ways whereby you love your wife. Now, it is interesting when you look at the Bible, the ways whereby we are to love our wives, and really love our spouses. If you're a wife, you're to love your husband this way. They feel rather ordinary. They feel rather non-spectacular. You know, oftentimes we think, how am I going to love my wife? How am I going to love my husband? I got to do this spectacular thing. I got to surprise her with this, cruise to the Bahamas or something like that. Or I got to surprise her with this, destination vacation to the Bahamas or, something like that. We think of these grand, huge things, and that's how I'm going to really love my spouse. Now, certainly those can be fun, and my wife and I are actually planning something like that coming up. Our 20th anniversary is in about 6 months from now, so we're kind of imagining stuff like that. So those are fine and appropriate, but realize the Bible emphasizes far more the little day-by-day interactions. Really, that's where marriages are made or broken, in the little day-by-day interactions. How you talk to one another, how you coordinate schedules together, the church you go to on Sunday, making sure that you've got sufficient food for groceries. That's really where marriages are made and broken, not in these, once every 10 years or 20 years great destination cruises or something like that. So this is really one area whereby we've got to renew our minds and change our thinking, that far, far more important than the great, extravagant, expensive event is just the way in which you treat your spouse throughout the week. Are you doing things to speak God's word lovingly into that person's life? Are you making sure their physical needs are met, loving them like you love your own body? Because at the end of the day, that's really where the emphasis lies, and that's where marriages really are made or broken. Now, I'm going to wrap it up there today for the sake of time, but maybe let's think on these things, especially if you're a husband tuning in. You're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? That means, in part, I do what I can to encourage her growth in godliness. I do what I can to expose her to the transforming power of the Word of God. How can you do that in your marriage? In addition to that, you make sure that just like your own body is cared for, you care for your wife. You know, if she's really anxious about where your next meal is going to come from, if she's really anxious about the finances or about the mortgage or something like that, that's not a good thing. So maybe make that a greater priority. How can I make sure that her needs are met so that she's not anxious about these things, and thereby I love my wife like Christ loved the church? You following me? Let me pray for help that we might put this into practice, and then we'll be done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the way that you have loved us in Jesus. He shed his blood that our sins might be taken away. And Lord, if you have given us Jesus, we can be confident that you will give us every good thing. Lord, for those of us who are husbands, help us to, in like manner, love our wives, to love them sacrificially, to do what we can to promote their godliness, to make sure their physical needs are met. And Lord, as this takes place, we pray that the world would see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.